The title of today's message is How to Discern God's Will. How to discern God's will. And I want to introduce the topic in a 2-minute video. So I'm going to have a machine. Go ahead and play that. Look at this.
You might want to grab a tissue for this next story. A mother and father received the best gift this holiday season. Their baby boy got to for the first time. And little Cyrus's reaction, priceless. News 4's Jamie Roth was there for the monumental moment.
8-month-old Cyrus Gantos Reynolds on the cusp of a big moment.
First thing I'm going to do, I'm just going to put this on the magnet right behind his ear.
He was born deaf. Doctors recently inserted 2 cochlear implants to help him hear. Parents Katie and Dan discovered their son had Usher syndrome, a genetic condition that can cause hearing loss and vision loss.
When we first learned that he was deaf, we took it hard. We were thinking about all the sounds that we take for granted and like, oh, other kids laughing and the wind in the trees and the birds, like he's never going to hear those things.
Cyrus's parents learned sign language and were embraced by the deaf community. They hope the cochlear implant opens up a new world, and his surgeon says this early intervention will help Cyrus learn to speak.
He's able to catch up to his normal hearing peers, so actually his ability to reach his full potential is the best that it could possibly be.
Today, audiologists slowly activate the cochlear implant.
It's going to go gradually louder. It's still very soft.
They keep Cyrus's focus down, so that when the moment arrives, when he finally hears, they know. 8-month-old Cyrus, hearing his mother's voice.
Cyrus, hello.
The sound of a new beginning. On the Lower East Side, Jamie Roth, News 4, New York.
So the little boy was 8 months old before he heard his mother's voice. I love the reporter. She said, this is a new beginning because he got this cochlear implant. As we think about how to discern God's will, understand that each of us have been born spiritually deaf. We're not interested in God. We're separated from him because of the sinfulness of man, and we're just born spiritually deaf. But the good news is that God, through his son Jesus, has provided a way to remedy that situation. In other words, he made provision for us to be able to hear his voice and to live a life that is purpose-driven, that we can live for God's glory. In John 10:27, the verse in your note, here's what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you realize that God wants you to hear his voice? The problem is we're all spiritually deaf in the beginning, but there's a provision for us that we can come to the place of hearing his voice, like Marilyn did when she shared her story. It's something he wants for all of us. Now, in Acts chapter 13, it's in your notes, verse 2, there's 5 people gathered together in a church at Antioch. 5 people, and they're praying and worshiping and fasting. Read with me that verse. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit said. See, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when we allow Jesus Christ to be a part of our life, here's what happens. The Holy Spirit takes up residence within our life. And in this case, in Acts 13, these 5 people were praying, and they heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and it was this. Barnabas and Saul, I have a plan and purpose for your life. Now, you and I are here today, and God has the same plan and purpose. And the purpose of this message is to talk about how we can discern and hear and understand God's voice. Now, circle the two words, Holy Spirit. It's the pneuma. That's the Greek word. Here's what that means. The Holy Spirit is a life-giving force. It's an empowerment. It's God's breath. It's His presence. And this breath, this pneuma, lives inside of us, and we can hear God's voice of what He's called each of us to do going forward. You may be here today, and you're saying, you know what? I've got a big decision to make about my future. Maybe you're dating, and you say, should I marry this person or that person? It's good to hear what the third person of the Trinity thinks about the whole situation. Or maybe you're here and you have a career opportunity, something that may move you to another location, yet your family's here and you're saying, you know what? I do not know what to do. It's good to get the third person of the Trinity involved with the decision. The Holy Spirit said, maybe you have something in your future, something you're dealing with and you don't know how to deal with it. You just need wisdom and guidance. There's a God's blessing that He wants to pour into your life to direct you. Another area, maybe there's something in your past. You know, everybody has a past that we struggle with. And when we come to God in faith, He gives us His word of how to deal with issues in our life. So we find here that as we think about God's will, understand each of us here, when we are the sheep and Jesus is the shepherd of our life, we can hear His voice to direct us, instruct us, and guide us. So I don't think that this probably was an audible voice. I have never had God speak to me audibly. Some people here have had that experience, and you may know people like that. For the most part, it's a strong impression. It's a sense of instinctively knowing that this is the way I'm supposed to go. And it's a prompting. It's a sense of inner touch that we just know it's God at work in our lives. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to share with us five truths of how to discern God's will. There are many different perspectives and principles. I just want to share five of them. So if you take your sermon listening guide, let's get started. Number one, it starts with having a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In other words, if you want to start a life or continue in a life in which you hear God's voice speaking to you to direct you and to guide you, it all is centered in your personal relationship with Jesus Himself. Read with me John 1:14 in your notes. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Here's what John is saying. We first must receive Jesus into our life. We receive by faith the forgiveness of sins, and we have a new beginning, a new start. The Bible calls it being born again, being saved, being touched, being quickened. And when He lives in our life, things can change immensely from that point going forward. You know, I've heard some people, when they've talked about making a decision, and this is in relation to their marriage partner, I've heard people say, you know, when I saw that person, in this case it was a guy telling the story, and he saw this woman, he says, I knew that that was the person I was going to marry. Now, some people have that experience. Other people may meet someone you don't know it the first day, but over time, you get to know them, and what happens is you become persuaded inwardly. You get this sense of, you know what, I think he or she is that person for me. So there's some things that happen that are instantaneous. I like those. There's other times where I have to wait it out. I got to walk it forward. I got to keep searching. I got to just process it. It takes time. And I found that a lot of life is all about this waiting process for God to show me what his will is. Now, read with me John 8:47 in your notes. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. If you want to hear God's voice, it's all about knowing Jesus in your life, and you get to know him in this personal relationship. The people that do not hear God's voice are the people that presently haven't made that decision, haven't made that connection yet. They just aren't there. Now, we were all in that position at some point. But when we believe, here's what happens. Christ comes into our life through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, things change because of him living inside us. Now, I have a quote here. When you have a personal relationship with God through Christ, he becomes your GPS system. I've got my phone with me, and yesterday I plugged in the airport in Syracuse. It's about an hour and 58 minutes. It showed me a couple different ways to get there. The bubble is where I was at. The blue line showed me this. This is the primary route, or the secondary blue was another alternative route. And we use this nowadays to get from point A to point B. Now, in the spiritual sense, you're trying to get from point A to point B in some area of your life, and you don't know how to get there or know the answer to. God becomes our GPS. Now, there's a lot of voices in the world. There's the voice of the television. There's the voice of Facebook. There's the voice of teachers. There's the voice of the people I work with. There's the voice of my parents. There's the voice of my siblings. There's the voice of my closest friends. There's the voice of myself. There are a lot of voices that enter into the processing of trying to discern God's will. But let me just say this. There's one voice that is more important than any others. It's God's direction in my life. God, what do you think about this? In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the Holy Spirit said to these two people, Barnabas and Saul, I've got an assignment for you. You're seated here today, and you're probably in a situation where you need direction. There's a lot of voices out there. But the secret of discerning God's will is positioning ourselves to hear the one voice that matters the most. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me. So you and I have to have God as our GPS system in order to get his true leading, rather than always being led by other people's voices or even my own. I say, God, I've got to surrender all that so that I can hear what you have to say to me. So point number one, it all starts with a personal relationship with God through Jesus himself. Point number two, if you and I want to discern God's will, we need to do this. Saturate your spirit with the Word of God. Saturate your spirit, your soul, your mind, your heart with the Word of God. Definition in your notes of saturate. Here it is. Cause something to become thoroughly soaked so that no more can be absorbed. When something is saturated, it is just thoroughly soaked. Now, here's what the principle is. When you and I allow the Word of God to soak into our lives, good things happen. Read with me, John 6:63. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. So here's what Jesus is saying. The words he speak, they are spirit and they are life and they are light unto my life. Now, in the book of Matthew, remember the story about the wise builder and the foolish builder? And the foolish builder went out and built a house on sand, and when the storms came, the house collapsed. The wise man built his house upon what? The rock, which is Christ. And when the storms came and the wind blew, it survived the storms of life. And so we have to be careful what is our center. And the Word of God is the life-giving, light-giving that we need to discern and hear God's leading. Read with me Psalm 119:105 in your notes. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The psalmist is saying that God's word inside of me becomes a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So I brought with me a light from the house, and it's daytime, so you see it, but it's probably brighter at night. But the psalmist said, God's word inside me lights my path. So last night, or during the middle of the night, when I got up and it was dark in my room where I sleep, my bedroom, I got up and wanted to go to the bathroom. And so I got up and it's dark. However, there's some light there. I looked at my clock. It happens to be red, and it tells me what time it is. But here's what it did. I knew when I looked to the left, it gave me orientation to where I shouldn't go and where I should go. Now, I had some light coming in through the bedroom windows from the neighbors or street lights. I got out into the hallway. I have a stair step I need to avoid. I don't want to fall down it. And so there's a little light in the hallway at the bottom of a wall. It's just real small, but here's what it did. The little light helped me to figure out where I'm at. Now, some of you have been in hotels, and when you get up in a hotel room, it's totally foreign. And you say, where am I? Now, the thing is, again, I'll look at the clock because there's a little bit of light there, and it tells me where I'm at. I look at the microwave. Sometimes there's a little number on it and there's a light there, or there could be a night light in the bathroom. But here's the key. When it's dark in our lives, these little lights orient our life to where we're at. It tells me if I should go right or left. When you and I become saturated with the Word of God, we just let it fill our life. Here's what happens. It becomes many flashlights inside of us to direct our steps. And the word, Jesus said, hey, it is life, it is spirit, and the words are light. They're just a way to illuminate my pathway. Now, here's the tough question. I want you to think about the last 7 days of this week. How much word saturation did you experience? Maybe the last time you read the word was when you came to church last Sunday. Or maybe you read it during the week or some devotional. That's awesome. But here's the secret. If you and I want to discern God's will and know his plan, the more word we can get into our lives, the more many flashlights that show us where we're at in life. And when an opportunity or a challenge is before us, here's what happens. We know how to navigate it because he's in us and he directs us. You know why? His word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Got a quote here. I'll have Michelle put it up. When we find a man meditating on the words of God, my friends, that man or woman is full of boldness and is successful. Let me stop there. If your life is saturated with the Word of God, You know what the end result's going to be? Boldness. The word successful is used very rarely in the Bible. It's in the book of Joshua. And you know what it's used in relation to? It's used in relation to when you follow the word of God, you can become successful. The two are connected. And so there's boldness associated with living in such a way the word saturates my life. There are many flashlights inside me that when I get to a crossroads and I don't know what to do, it shines on my path of which way I'm supposed to go. Here's another quote. Only a word-saturated Christian will endure this trial-saturated life. It's true, isn't it? If you want a higher level victory and you want to really know what God's will is and you want to ramp it up, what it takes is saturation of His word into your soul, your heart, and spirit. And the end result, He will take your life and He'll shine on your pathway the next step, what you need to do to give guidance and wisdom to each of us. Okay, so number one, starts with the relationship with Jesus. It's a GPS. Number two, saturate your spirit with the Word of God. Just soak it in each day. Try and put something inside you. Number three, the third thing we need to do is this. We need to pray expectantly. Pray expectantly. Read with me James 1:5 in your notes. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. There's a promise here and a condition. Here's the promise. If you are lacking or short on wisdom, anything, raising kids, job, relationships, money, anything, if you're lacking wisdom, we're invited to ask for it. And the promise is God will give it to you. He promises that. But here's the condition. I love it. It says, but when you ask, believe and not doubt, because doubts are like the wave of the sea tossed to and fro. But for the person who believes when they ask, they will receive. Now, it's pretty amazing. The last part of that says, that man who's like the wave and doesn't ask in faith, he will receive nothing or anything from the Lord. On the other hand, if you believe, God will come through and show you what it is He has for you and wants you to do. I put this quote in here, or this statement. It's in your notes. God will never instruct us to do something which contradicts His word or His character. I just want us to understand that when you get an idea and you say, wow, is this God or is this something just me or where did this come from? Filter it through God's word. And if it doesn't line up with who he is and his character, know that it's not from God. I mean, I've had some wild ideas in my life, but the more I thought about it, it just didn't make sense. It doesn't line up. Somebody once asked a banker, said, well, how do you train your tellers to pick up on counterfeit bills? And the banker said, well, they handle the real thing every day. And when something fake or false comes along, they can identify it. When we specialize in handling the Word of God, we take it in every day, we can then pick up on something that's false in our life just by virtue of the inner flashlight from His Word being in us. But pray expectantly. Ask in faith. God will direct you. If you believe, He will respond. Number four. This is a good one. The fourth point about truth and discerning God's will is this. Get advice. Let me back up. Go ahead, Michelle. I forgot one slide. Pray boldly, pray expectantly, and pray specifically. Good little formula for just whatever your need is in terms of wisdom. All right, number four, get advice from other godly people. Read with me 1 John 4:1 in your notes. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Everything that falls into our head, into our mind, needs to be tested. How do we do that? Does it line up with God's word and his character? That's number one. There are times in my life where I still hadn't figured stuff out, and I've talked with other people. Now, the key is find people you trust, you think are godly people, that you say, you know what, I think they'll give me good advice. And feel free to ask them. If they're older, they may have made the mistake. You don't have to repeat it. But be willing to talk with other people if necessary. But it says, test every spirit, every thought, every idea. Is this me? Is this God? Is it my friend's voice in my head? I've had some ideas I thought were pretty good that were just wacko. And I've talked with other people. And they talked me back to center. They said, Larry, that's just stupid, you know? I knew you'd enjoy that, right? Seriously, I really have. There's huge value in having good, close friends who are godly that can talk us back to center when we're off the beaten path. Now, read with me Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the multitude of counselors, you can get some good advice. I remember years ago, I'd been in a car accident, and I had to get a different vehicle. And I had one picked out. I was in a weakened place, but I needed to get a vehicle. And I found one. It was kind of in my budget, and I wanted to buy it. And I talked with somebody, and they said, you know what? That's not a very good car. And it really wasn't. And they talked me off it. They talked me out of it. And sometimes we need other people to get us back centered, to get us to a better place. Because if we make decisions solely on our own, we can get in a heap of trouble. So here's a quote. All of us at certain moments of our lives need to take advice and to receive help from other people. Hey, if you need to talk to somebody, go for it. Don't be ashamed. Everybody at some point needs help. I have. Maybe you have as well. But talk with other people. They can help guide us to discern what God's plan is. All right. Finally, number five. The fifth point is this. When you're trying to discern God's will, ask yourself, what are my circumstances telling me? Read with me Revelation 3:7-8 in your notes. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door, and no one can shut. Sometimes an open door doesn't necessarily mean it's mine to walk through. But sometimes an open door does. Other times there may be a roadblock that doesn't seem that door will open. But maybe it's a timing issue that I have to just wait on God and let that door open. Jesus is the doorkeeper. Circumstances are a factor in determining what my decision should be. It's not everything, but it is a factor. And so we have to get perspective of our circumstances from God's perspective. Here's a quote. It's a different one, Michelle. It basically says that we need to get our perspective from God. There we go. Thank you. Sometimes God wants us to look at our circumstances through a new perspective, his perspective. Take time, maybe it's talking with somebody else, but saying, hey, here's my circumstances. What do you think? Is this a roadblock that's a closed door, or do I just need to wait and overcome it? Or is it an open door? Should I go through it? So circumstances are a part. Here's another quote. Stop taking advice from people whose ceiling is your floor. I just had to throw this one in there. I mean, talk to the right people, right? If you just want to talk to good people that can help you on your journey. So let me just summarize. Five truths, five principles. Number one, it all begins with a relationship with Jesus. He becomes, through the Holy Spirit, your GPS system. We listen for his voice. His is the most important. Number two, saturate your life, your spirit, with his word. When you do that, his word becomes a lamp that directs our next step. You may be in the middle of darkness in your life. You know what you need? You need mini flashlights. You need a little glow light as you journey through each day. It may be dark, but let me tell you, the Word of God is like a mini flashlight to direct our steps and light our path. Number three, pray expectantly. I mean, believe God, if you ask for wisdom, that he'll give it to you. He says he will. Number four, be willing to get advice, if needed, from other people. Say, hey, what do you think? They don't have the final vote, but they can provide some good input. And it says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And then finally, number five, circumstances, what are they telling me? What are they, should I move forward, should I not? And so we need to see our circumstances through God's perspective to figure out if I should move forward or I should not. Concluding verse, it's in your notes, let's read it together. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Here's the great promise. God says he'll instruct your life. My sheep hear my voice, they know me, and they follow me. It is a birthright when we're in Christ. You know why? You and I need to hear what they heard in Acts 13:2. And the Holy Spirit said, if you want boldness and confidence in your life, we get in tune with the one voice that is most important, that empowers us to go forward as we discern his will for our life. All right, this is the last slide. God is my GPS. At the end of the day, at the end of your life, we all need to be able to look back and say, God, I didn't always get it, but I'm trying to listen for the voice, your voice, to lead me so that I know that I'm living out your will. And God delights to take his children. And as we listen to his voice, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me. And that is what God wants to do for each of us. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want you to take a few moments. Just be still before God. And maybe he's challenging you in some area. He wants to help you. But the most important point is number one, of having Christ in your life through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to lead us all in a simple prayer. You can pray it silently after me. And it's just allowing Christ to be Lord of your life. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me. I confess I need you. Forgive me for trying to do life apart from you. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus died and rose again for me and lives forevermore. Right now by faith, I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. May he be my Savior, my Lord, and my GPS going forward. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you prayed that the first time, would you put your hand up and put it down? Anybody? Where you say, you know what? I prayed that. That was me. All right, thank you. Father, I now pray for this group of people that we would make a commitment to saturate our lives with your word. So I want you to make a decision today, right now, of what you plan to do this week in reading the word, maybe a chapter a day, a devotional book. Every day, you're going to do something. Just make a decision right now. The reason? His word becomes many flashlights in our life. Number three, do you need any wisdom this morning? Something in life you can't figure out? James says ask for it. Ask God for it right now. Only do it with a believing heart. Ask for wisdom. Number four, is there anybody you need to talk to? God brings to mind and says, you know what? I probably should have a conversation with that person. If he's leading you in that direction, don't fight it. Try and work it out. Finally, number five, your circumstances. Surrender them and say, God, show me your perspective of the doors that are open and closed before me. Let him interpret them and the circumstances of your life. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've made a way to hear your voice. And I pray your blessing upon every person here and every one online, that we will put ourselves in a place to hear the one voice, the pneuma, and the Holy Spirit said, who becomes the GPS guidance system for our entire life. Lord, we love you today, and thank you for the amazing future you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.